You know, it's a different thing to sing from the heart. And what a pleasure it was to watch the choir this morning really enjoying what they're singing. And when you do it, it comes out differently, you know? Comes out differently. Just give God praise. Bow your heads with me, please. Loving Father, we thank you so much for your love. We thank you for the privilege we have of freely coming together to worship you. Speak to our hearts now And may your message for us today be clear. Use even me, Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Watch your tongue. If you have your Bibles, which I hope you do, please turn to James chapter 3 and put your finger there as we look at some things that James has to say about us today, about the tongue. On Wednesday of this week, we'll conclude our study of the book of Hebrews. And starting Wednesday of next week, we will be studying the book of James. Two very interesting books. And you're invited to join us on a Wednesday at 7 p.m. when we search the scriptures. The tongue is a fleshy muscular organ in the mouth of a mammal used for tasting, for swallowing, and in humans for articulating speech. The tongue's taste buds can taste bitter, salty, sweet, sour. Needless to say, the tongue is vital to our survival, as it examines by taste everything the body ingests. Nevertheless, the tongue can do a lot more harm than good if left uncontrolled. For the words the tongue spits out from the body can be much more dangerous than the food it takes in. Matthew 15:11 says, "Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man." In James chapter 3, James brings to our attention the fact that the tongue can be a dangerous weapon if left uncontrolled, and that an uncontrolled tongue is a sure sign of Christian immaturity. A mature Christian believer lives a life that is governed by the Lord Jesus Christ. His words are guided by the Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit dwells within us, we will produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit, listed in Galatians 5:22. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance, which is self-control. Therefore, the tongue of one who loves the Lord will praise him, will thank him, will pray to him, will sing of his grace and love, will encourage others in their walk with the Lord, will bless others, will teach, will preach, and will tell of God's love every chance he or she gets, because they are guided by the Holy Spirit. James, in verse 1 of chapter 3, brings to our attention the fact that those of us who are called to be teachers have a deeper responsibility and will be judged more severely. So as leaders and teachers, we must watch carefully what we say. Titus 3 verse 2 says, "Speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men." So the teacher is held to a higher accountability because by his position, he is declared to have a clearer knowledge of his duty and therefore is more bound to honor it. Let's consider three main facts about the tongue. Firstly, the tongue has the power to control. In verse 2, James does not just point the finger at the offenders, but includes himself, reminding us that all have sinned and come short of God's glory. However, he gives strong encouragement to us to control our tongue. For if we fail to control our tongue, my friends, it certainly will control us. In verse 3 of James 3, James uses three analogies to emphasize the power of the tongue, which, though small, controls our entire body. Verses 3 through 6. In verse 3, he talks about the bridle in a horse's mouth, which controls the horse's movement and direction. The whole body responds to it, thereby giving the rider full control. Verse 4 says, behold also ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about by a very small helm or rudder, whithersoever the governor listeth. A few years ago, I had the pleasure of cruising on the Oasis of the Seas, which was then the largest cruise ship in the world. It weighs 100,000 tons. It is 1,182 feet long, about four times the length of a 100-yard track. It is 16 stories high, and it can accommodate 6,296 passengers, in addition to a crew of 2,394, for a total of 8,690 people on board. Has a large park in the middle called Central Park, which has palm trees and flowers growing, with park benches and restaurants. The ship is propelled by a 27,000 horsepower engine. But despite its size and power, not only is it amazing that it can float on water, but its direction is maneuvered by a comparatively small rudder at the back of the ship. In like manner, the tongue, though small, controls the entire body. Each year we see that vast damage is done by forest fires in California and elsewhere, some even right here in South Florida. And many times these fires that destroy thousands of acres of property are started by a single careless match or cigarette. Verses 5 and 6 say, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. If you have been to church meetings, hello, you know that it only takes a spark, a harsh word, an inconsiderate response to spark an argument. I've seen simple disagreements grow into church breakaways. Not here, thank God. We must control our tongue, or it will control us. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. And watch not only what you say, but how you say it. Proverbs 16, 1 and 2 says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. There is a man working at a produce store, or working in the produce department one day, and he was asked by a lady if she could buy a half head of lettuce. He replied, "Half a head? Are you serious? God grows these in whole heads, and that's how we sell them." "You mean," she persisted, "that after all these years I've shopped here, you won't sell me half head of lettuce?" "Look," he said, "if you want, I'll ask the manager." She agreed. So the young man marched to the front of the store. "You won't believe this," he said to the manager, "but there's an idiot of a lady back there who wants to know if she could buy a half head of lettuce." And then he noticed the manager gesturing and turned around to see that the lady had followed him and was standing right behind him. "And this nice lady," he said, "would like to buy the other half." Right. "Watch your tongue. Speak well of others, even when you think they aren't hearing you. And sometimes silence is golden. Many regret their words, but never, almost never, their silence. Knowing when to speak and when not to is invaluable. Proverbs 17:27 says, "He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding." In other words, it's better to keep quiet and be thought of as being a fool than to speak and remove all doubt. Ecclesiastes 3:7 says, "There is a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silent and a time to speak." So before you speak, stop and think. Alan Redpath devised an acrostic for his congregation, which I think will be helpful to us as well. It is THINK. You might want to write that down. THINK. Before we speak ill of anyone else, we should take the time to think. The T reminds us to ask the question, is it true? If what you're about to say about someone else is not true, or if you don't know for sure that it's true, don't say it. Don't spread gossip. The H is for helpful. Ask the question, is what I'm about to say about this person helpful? Is this something that will uplift or tear down? The I is for inspired. Is my desire to pass on this information inspired by the Holy Spirit or by my own selfish desires? The N is for necessary. Did someone ever tell you something personal about someone else? And you're wondering, why are they telling me this? This is so personal that it must have been told to them in confidence. One thing is for sure. If you had a personal matter, you would be reluctant to confide in that person. So ask before you speak about someone else, is it necessary? And the K is for kind. Will this be a kind thing to do or not? Secondly, in verses 5 through 8 of our passage in James 3, James reminds us that the tongue not only has the power to control, but it has the power to destroy. He goes on to say, verse 6 says that the tongue is a fire in a world of iniquity. And he goes on to say that it defileth the whole body because the source of this deadly fire is hell. My friends, this tongue of ours can be downright evil if not controlled by the Holy Spirit. It can stir up anger. It can tell lies. It can pass judgment. It can gossip. It can deceive. It can insult. It can embarrass. It can defame. It can discourage. It can disrespect. It can curse. It can slander. It can corrupt. It can criticize. Just to name a few. And yes, it can defile the whole body. So watch your tongue. God gives us 2 feet, 2 hands, 2 ears, 2 eyes, 2 nostrils, even 2 sets of teeth. But only 1 tongue. Perhaps because we should listen and see and do twice as much as we talk. Proverbs 17:20 says, "He that hath a froward heart findeth no good, and he that hath a perverse tongue falleth into mischief." You see, my friends, the tongue reveals the condition of the heart. In Luke 6:45, Jesus said, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." James 4 verse 1 says, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust, the war in your members?" And the English Standard Version says it like this: "What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you?" As responsible believers, we must train our tongue to godliness, to reflect who we say we are. James says in chapter 1, verse 26, "If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain." A true Christian displays in action as well as in speech a true sense of godliness. Verse 7 talks about man's ability to tame wild beasts. But no one but God can tame the tongue. For you see, the tongue is a restless evil, says verse 8, full of deadly poison. It kills relationships, kills friendships, kills respect. It turns love into hate and peace into war. You know, the largest tongue in the world belongs to the blue whale. It can be the size of an elephant. Just the tongue now. It can be the size of an elephant and can weigh 5,400 pounds. And I thank God that tongue cannot speak. But man is even able to tame the whale. We've all been to SeaWorld and the Ocean World and seen whales trained to do tricks. So we can tame the whale. But only God can tame the human tongue. And thirdly, the tongue has the power to bless. When God controls our tongue, He uses it in marvelous ways to bless and not to curse, to encourage and not to discourage, to praise and not to slander. The key to right talk is right thought. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And so verse 9 brings to our attention the fact that we use the same tongue to bless God as we use to curse men who are made in the image of God. He tells us clearly in verse 10 that these things ought not to be so. Because how can you get bitter and fresh water from the same spring? You can't worship God with your tongue in prayer and song from 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock, and at 1:30 you're slandering or cursing or gossiping. Let your voice be one of blessing to others, one that uplifts and tells of God's blessing and grace, and be clear so you are not misunderstood. We should cultivate good thoughts. 1 Peter 2 verse 1 says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." Strive for a closer relationship with Jesus. Let him change your heart. For if he changes your heart, you will change your speech. Find something kind to say about your brother and sister in Christ. Find something good to say about your co-workers. The story is told of an army general who was asked what he thought about a young soldier who had been spreading bad rumors about him. "I think he's a fine young man," he said. "How could you say such a thing about someone who has so many bad things to say about you?" they asked. "Well, I was asked my opinion of him, not his opinion of me." Respond to a harsh word with kindness. Philippians 4:8, Paul reminds us to practice godliness. He says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." And verse 11 asks the question, "Can a fig tree bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Whatever seeds you plant, that will you also reap in return." And likewise, if you smile with the world will smile with you. If you speak kindly of others, others will speak kindly of you. If you love people, people will love you. So my friend, you have a choice to make. You can let your tongue run wild and destroy you, or you can let the Holy Spirit choose your words for you and use you to be a blessing to others, to encourage and build them up and share the good news of God's love. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. You know, if you love someone, you'll treat them with respect. You'll not yell at them, but you'll speak kindly to them. You'll compliment them and encourage them with uplifting words. Wives, be the encourager and helpmate to your husband God intends you to be. I want to encourage you today to commit to watching what you say. Hopefully it will become a habit. How about starting at home by complimenting your wife? How about telling her how nice she looks and how great she cooks? Tell your children that you're proud of them and that you love them. Tell your parents how much you appreciate all they do for you. Tell your brothers and sisters in Christ how much you are encouraged by them. Tell your pastor, hello, that you love him. and that you're praying for him. Perhaps you know that you have a difficult time controlling your tongue. Then ask Jesus to help you. He alone can give you full control. Romans chapter 3 verse 23 reminds us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Because Adam and Eve sinned, we're all born in sin and separated from a God who is altogether holy and who cannot abide in sin. And Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Through him alone can you be saved. No one else can save you but Jesus. No one else can forgive you of your sins but Jesus. And he said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so today, you have the opportunity of using your tongue to cry out to the Lord in repentance. The thief on the cross beside Jesus was smart enough to make use of the opportunity he had to cry out to the Lord saying, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he was saved as Jesus assured him that today shalt thou be with me in paradise. My friend, you too can be sure of your salvation today if you repent of your sins and surrender your all to Jesus Christ. Romans 10 verses 9 and 10 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So cry out to God for help, as David did in Psalm 141, where he said, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, keep the door of my lips. And heed the warning that James gives us in James 1:19, where he says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of God worketh not the righteousness of God. So ask the Lord to guide you and give you wisdom and self-control to think before you speak, and to speak only that which pleases him. If you're here today and have never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart, you can do that now. While every head is bowed right now and every eye closed, if today you would like to receive salvation through Jesus, through accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then while every head is bowed and every eye closed, just raise your hand so I can see it, and I'll pray with you. I'll be happy to speak to you after the service. Into my heart, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, I pray for anyone within the sound of my voice who today needs to give their all to you, to give you control of their life, to repent of their sins and receive salvation. Give them wisdom to understand that this is what they must do, because there's no other way. Give them courage to do it before it's too late. And Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will continue to work in such a heart and bring them to a place of repentance. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. As we transition into our Lord's Supper service, let us turn in our hymnals to 144,
When I Survey
the Wondrous Cross.